We have an update now on the planet Krypton. It is Superman's home, and a renowned astrophysicist discovered the exact location of the planet just in time for Superman to get a glimpse of it. Superman was able to watch his planet blow up, seeing a dazzling light display that took 27 years to reach the planet Earth. Now, the scientist who helped the Man of Steel locate his home planet in the galaxy, none other than Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, who, faster than a speeding bullet, joins us in our studio this morning. Dr. Tyson, good morning.
Thanks for having me.
It's good for you to be here. I'm having troubles keeping a straight face.
So what
really happened here? I mean, it is true that you somehow have gotten roped into a Superman comic.
Well, I roped in can't be the right reference there. I gleefully accepted the invitation.
No arm twisting.
To assist Superman in his time of need. Wouldn't you?
Sure. Okay. I mean, if he asked.
If Elastic Man called, no. Or Aquaman. But Superman is a special place in the pantheon of superheroes. I got a call from DC Comics.
Uh-huh.
And they said that they wanted to create an issue where Superman would visit the Hayden Planetarium, where I serve as director
in New York City.
And they wanted to portray the planetarium in the comic. So they wanted sort of permission to do that. And we said, sure. And then they wanted to know if they could portray me in conversation with Superman, showing him Krypton. So I said, sure.
Okay, right? Why not?
Yeah, why not? But then I said, well, wait a minute. What's going on in the story? Well, in the story, Superman observes the destruction of Krypton.
Because it takes a long time for light from that explosion.
Well, I said, well, if that's the case, let's explore the astrophysics of this. I mean, why not? They were just ready to draw it and just make the story up. I said, we might be able to anchor this with real data. How old is Superman? He said, well, we never specify, but we say about late 20s. So I said, well, let's get a star that's late 20s light years away. All right. Now, remember when he arrived at Earth, he was an infant. When he was launched from Krypton, he was an infant. So he didn't age at all, essentially. So there are two ways he could have gotten here. Traveling at most of the speed of light, where you don't hardly age at all, or traveling through a wormhole.
Mm.
If you travel through a wormhole, you beat the light beam that left your planet.
And so Superman traveled through a wormhole?
Well, we have to assert that.
We have to assume that, right?
If he now sees 27 years later the destruction of Krypton, he essentially got here instantly on this little Moses-style basket that was cast into space.
Through the wormhole.
It had to be through a wormhole.
Okay, so Superman gets here instantly through a wormhole. 27 years after the explosion of Krypton, he's able to see it, this planet in theory.
He comes to the planetarium, and my character as portrayed, it is me. I mean, it's a cameo for me in the comic.
Yeah.
I'm wearing my trademark vest, and
sun's on it.
Yeah, and I said, oh, by the way, if it makes no difference one to you, could you take off a few pounds for me?
You gave them advice. Huh?
And they said, Dr. Tyson, these are the comics. Everyone looks good.
Well, I'm looking at it right here. You look very good.
I'm pretty buff in the comic.
Yeah.
I can be buff in the comic.
Well, and just to be clear, that you actually did find a planet that, based on all these specs, could be Krypton.
Well, we didn't. We can't see actual planets at that distance. You can infer their presence. And I said, we can show sort of what we call the light curve of the host star, where a star dims a little bit when the planet eclipses it. But they wanted something more dramatic. And I said, well, then we have to construct a new way to observe the universe for this episode. And so what I said was, let's gather all the telescopes of the world, have them look at this particular star. I found them a star 27 light years away, a red star. And we know that Superman's home star was red.
Huh.
So I got this, right?
You got it.
All right? And if you're into the idea of the star, it's LHS 2520, if you care.
Okay.
All right?
All you amateur astronomers are listening.
Exactly.
Listening up right there.
And so I hand them this star. They said, that's it. Let's use that. And then we invent the notion of a planet orbiting it, and we call that planet Krypton.
All right.
And so we got that covered. And we assemble the armament of all the telescopes of the world to observe that star system.
You have that power to assemble all the telescopes
in the comics,
of the world.
Yes, I had that power.
Okay.
As assemble all telescopes of the world to turn the entire Earth into one coherent telescope.
Wow.
All right. If all the telescopes observe the same object at the same time and you bring the data together in a particular way, you can create what's called an interferometer, we do this all the time, but not on this scale, and we haven't figured out how to do it on this scale yet.
Normally, all the telescopes would not all agree to do this for just the sake of a comic book, but in theory, this could happen.
In the comics. So not only would they not agree to do it, it would be very hard to do, it's also a challenge beyond our current capacity to assemble the data in such a way to make one coherent image. And I said, we don't know how to do that. And in the comic, they said, don't worry, Superman will.
you and Superman, quite a team.
Oh, my gosh. So I'm now buds with Superman. And so he comes in, and I say, I can't make sense of these data. And he stands over the computer, and his mind goes to the computer, and out comes this image beautifully displayed on the dome of the Hayden Planetarium. And it is, I'd hate to give away the story, but it's he sees the destruction of his planet.
Wow.
And he went in. He's been coming every year, apparently, as the story tells it, and knowing that this year would be different from the others. And it's a rather solemn story. I mean, at the end, his head is bowed.
He got emotional.
He's sad. I even got a little misty-eyed as I just read through this, because here's something he knew already happened, but to see it takes it into another emotional realm.
Did you give him a hug?
It was a huggable moment. Maybe the next panel would have had me hugging him, but the end with him just sort of bowing his head in solemn reflection of what he just witnessed.
Well, you look great in a comic book. You look great in our studios. Thanks for coming by.
Well, thanks for having me. It was great being buds with Superman. Like I said, I would not have done it for Aquaman.
Superman's another thing.
Also, I must say, I'm a longtime resident of Metropolis. You know, I'm a native New Yorker, so yeah. I get to think of that as Metropolis.
You owed him something.
I think so. I mean, he's been good to us all my life. So the least I could do is help the man find his home star. So this was, I felt an important bit of civic, personal, emotional, intellectual duty to serve that role.
And you can read the story in Superman Action Comic, Dr. Tyson. Which one is it?
Yeah, Action Comics 14.
There you have it.
It's there now. I went to my local comic store, and they had like a whole stack of them. I bought the whole stack. There might not be any left for you. I don't know.
I mean, how many people can say they met Superman? Neil deGrasse Tyson did, and he was here to talk about it. The astrophysicist is director of the Hayden Planetarium and a frequent guest on this program. It is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green.
And I'm Renee Montagne.